Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 10, Women's Movements. And our topic is the post-independence period, state reform and women. The post-independent Indian state launched the area of reforms, which had been demanded even before the independence. There were, for example, demands that all customary and religious and traditional laws which regulated the larger Hindu society and which to a greater extent therefore determined the legal status of human Hindu women in religious terms should be codified and brought into the public domain. In 1948, there was attempts to bring to the Constituent Assembly what is known as the Hindu Code Bill. However, the stiff opposition led to the dropping of ideas. After a couple of other attempts, finally it was in 1955-56 that the code bill was passed in sections known as Hindu Marriage Act, Hindu Succession Act, etc. In spite of the strong support from the Congress party under the leadership of Jawaharlal Nehru, the opposition was very strong. The government could not enter into the issue of the personal laws of other communities, that is Muslim, Christian or Parsis. Crucial aspects of their lives continued to be determined by the personal laws of their religious communities, in which man was the supreme arbiter in most of the cases. This was an anomalous situation, as women found to their chagrin that the community an anomalous situation as women found to their chagrin that the community structures were more authoritarian, and Indian state in that sense would be more of an agency of liberation from such structures. The post-independent Indian state geared itself to the consensus that the modern developed state and the political democracy would be safeguarded by the economic democracy. Women got franchise, the democratic right, and the development would see that the she got the economic rights to practice that democracy. Thus, a full-blown theory of equality, rights, and justice was in place. It was the violence against women in the form of bride burning and rape that galvanized the women's movement led by the feminist groups, especially since the 1970s. The campaign against dowry and rape are called the first campaigns of the contemporary Indian feminist movements. The violence against women at the ground level, rape by the landlords, caste oppression, etc., made the movement gradually try and incorporate them into the concerns for women. The theoretical and organizational structures of the parties and the movement, though highlighted some of the issues, did not develop any new perspective on them. This had set in motion a rapid disentanglement with the state apparatus There began to be strong voices against the nature of the development, and there were demand for more women-centric development in many parts of the country. In fact, several cases, for example, the Chipko movement in the Himalayas became an eye-opener, where along with the saving of their trees, there were demands for development planning, which is sensitive to the local needs and resources. These criticisms have been opened into theoretical mode by the criticism of development process that India has been undergoing. The international feminist criticism of the state-sponsored development process, which marked its decisive beginning in the 70s, also influenced these works during the decade of the UN Women's Decade. A section of these intellectual critics, though not directly coming from the feminist, begin to uphold community tradition and the local bonds as the counterpoint to the project of modernity, which they argued was against women. Some fragments of Indian intellectuals too joined in those critics. In the 90s, these critics merged with some sections of the feminist movement, which was also waging a battle against the globalization processes. The post-independent Indian state is grounded on the idea of equality with justice, and this has been the consensus developed during the freedom movement. The development was supposed to bring the equity closer, and the democratic functioning of the system would see to it that the fruits of development would reach to the different segments of population. Regarding the issue of women, the consensus was on women's development. On the equity front, the legal system was found to be unequal, and the one of the first major restructuring tried by the Constituent Assembly in 1948 itself was to try and effect a standardized Hindu code, which would try to do away with the large number of discriminatory personal and customary rules applied to women in different Hindu communities. The ultimate conceived goal, as the women's representative would argue, was to usher a common uniform civil code. This was thought to be very significant because the state continued to treat women through the personal or community laws, where male was the dominant and authoritarian figure. It was argued that unless the rules, conventions, and laws are brought out of the personal or community into the public domain, women would not be able to enjoy the equality as promised by the Constitution. The Shahbano affair brought an entire range of issues related to women to the fore. It brought the Indian state attitude toward the issue of women in the context of her religious community. It also showed the weakness of the women's movement to mobilize its strength to fight for a common civil code. Thirdly, it brought the weakness of the progressive sections in the society to come forward and demand uniform civil code for all the communities so that the women's right come out of the domain of religion into the secular legal domain. The Indian government's act in some sense weakened the liberal within the Muslim community and the voice of the educated woman who found at this point of time the strength of the orthodoxy vis-a-vis the state. The government's act also emboldened the fundamentalist groups in other communities who could now on show that Indian state appeases the minority communities' sentiments and not concerned about the development really. From now, it is the fundamentalist and the communal groups among the Hindus which started demanding uniform civil code to provoke the minority. Thus, in sum, one of the most important issues concerning women's equality became part of the real politics of the Indian democracy. By the 80s, the political movement by communal parties, which had a large middle and lower class support, gradually affected the original discourse on women and her legal and political entitlements. Now we want to wind up this lecture. Thank you so much for your attention.